Hey, welcome everybody. I know if a number of you are newer and brand new even with us this morning. We're grateful for your presence. Thank you for being among the number that have assembled here at the 10 o'clock service of the branch. We're just a little over 3 years old. We believe in getting to know Jesus the best we can. It's just an endless, you know, journey because of the incredible amount of great knowledge that we can learn from Jesus about God. For Jesus is the very face of God, the very Son of God, God incarnate. And so we want to make him known because he's the key to eternal life. He's the key to heaven for us. And so we say we want to make him known to the growing numbers of folks that live out here in the East County area that are uninformed, we say, underinformed. That's where I was about 40 years ago. I was underinformed. I knew something about Jesus, but not what I needed to know, especially about Jesus. Uninformed, underinformed, or simply misinformed. There's so many people that are misinformed about Jesus. They think he's just a good teacher. He's just like a rabbi. So we're going to see that a little bit here in the text today in our Bible. Some people just thought he wasn't really what he claimed to be and was sent to be as the Savior King of the whole world. And so I want to introduce it this way. This is our series, Got Grace. We've been at it since the beginning of the year. We're really working through the book of Romans, and we'll get through chapter 8. We're through chapter 5, and we've taken a little segue over to the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus spoke into this whole understanding of the need for grace being the very gift of God to humanity. So that's where we are again today. I want to start out with this party picture. It was a summer ago, 2017, and happened to be, that's my back, my better side there that you're looking at in the center of the picture. It looks like this. Anyway, so then to the left of me up there is my brother Chris, and then I've got Johnny in there, and I think Aaron and Amy, but look at the surroundings. This was at a wedding of my niece down in Livermore at a vineyard there where there was this incredible celebration of the wedding that happened, you know, the reception just following the exchange of vows in an idyllic place. It was just awesome. And I remembered it so well because it was such a fun event. It was a celebration for sure. It was a party of all parties, it felt like to me. They really did it up well. Have you been to something like that in your past? Yeah, I remember it. It was fun. If somebody invited you to go again, would you? Oh, yeah. Count me in. If I got an invitation to go. I'll be there. No question about it. Well, there is an invitation to the party of all parties, the very ultimate party that you'll ever attend. Friends, there really is. It's called the Wedding Supper of the Lamb. Look what it says here in Revelation 19 and verse 9. Then the angel said to me, that was John, in this vision he had of the revelation, the very last book in the Bible. And he has this revelation of, and he was told to write it down, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. This was going to be a grand celebration, kind of this ultimate celebration when we get there, kind of our introduction perhaps into the eternal paradise environment, that state of everlasting life that we're all looking forward to. It's our hope. As we say around here, I take this right from the Treasure Principle book. Right? By the way, if you want to borrow one of those books, I have about five or six of them that have been returned. I've got 20 altogether. It says in there that don't live for the dot. What's the dot? That's this life, the temporary life. It's finite. You will, some of you younger ones, grow older and get grayer and wrinkled, and one day you'll die. If you know, we don't know just when, because we could die any day, but we will, because it's finite. This is the temporary life. Don't live for the dot, live for the line. The line goes on and on and on and on and on and on. You could just keep saying that because you don't have to stop, because it just keeps going on. That's the life we keep in view. We live this life in light of that next life. If we don't, one day we're going to have a rude awakening, because we will pass. We will hit that true reality of death. That is the cessation of this life. But that isn't where life ends, my friends. God is a God of life, not of death. God's purpose is that we live forever. So much so, he sent Jesus to assure it for us, should we accept that gift by the grace God has offered for us. And so that's this amazing celebration, this wedding supper, but ultimately this whole blessing of heaven one day. Well, to have dinner with the very Son of God, Jesus, kind of like in the physical presence of, what an ultimate party that would be. You'd think everybody would jump on that opportunity, but as we'll see, some turned down that invitation. There's more than one reason people will miss the party in heaven. And I really want us to dwell on this. We don't want to miss the party in heaven. You don't want to miss a good party on earth either, right? You don't want to miss a celebration of a wedding, and you know, you don't want to try to miss those things, but this one in heaven, you just don't want to miss. But believe it or not, there'll be some people that are really good people that will and can miss the party of all parties. It's kind of surprising, really. It's baffling, we might say, that good, even religious people are often the group that can miss Jesus and his eternal kingdom. And we see this clearly in Luke 14. It'll be inside the folders that you are given. If you didn't get one, you can raise your hand. And we can, if you'll keep it up, somebody will place one of those in your hand so you can follow along in what Jesus says that I've printed there so you can take it home and dwell on it further. Jesus tells a parable about a huge party. It's called the parable of the great banquet. And he has in mind, I believe, this ultimate wedding supper of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb, it's called. Why would people, especially that like God, like the idea of God, believe in one God as a monotheist, so to speak, why would they miss it? And I believe Jesus is capturing some of that among people that believe they're very godly around the table that he's seated at. But to catch the full impact of the parable, we need to understand the setting. Jesus was eating in the home of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath day. By the way, we were kind of with Jesus at a home of a Pharisee last Sunday. And if you missed that one, you can go online and get the podcast on it if you'd like to. But Jesus is again accepting an invitation to come to a Pharisee's home to eat. And so he was there, and this day happened to be a Sabbath day. A Sabbath day, it's important to realize. They were watching Jesus, these Pharisees, and as we've come to find out, some of the teachers of the law or the lawyers of that day that understood the Mosaic law that they had, and they were watching him carefully, most believed because they wanted to catch him in some kind of violation, in particular of the Sabbath laws. Many of them were not the biblical Sabbath laws, but there were laws built on those laws in some manner, some way. Extra burdens that people would have to deal with based on the teachings of those lawyers, the teachings of those Pharisees. And they believed that to heal someone was constituted work in their minds. That would be a work if you were to heal someone, and therefore you shouldn't be permitted on the Sabbath. And so it happens that there was this man who had an abnormal swelling, sometimes called dropsy, right in front of Jesus. And some believe that he was actually planted there to see what Jesus would do. Would Jesus heal him and therefore violate the Sabbath laws based on what their understanding and their extra teachings were on the Bible? And so most believe that they might have been trying to trap him, to catch him doing something wrong in their eyes. Jesus, of course, had compassion on those that are hurting. Are you hurting today? You got a hurt in your life? You need to know this about Jesus. He cares. He cares about your hurt. He cares if you have a physical ailment and struggling with it. He cares if your ailment is perhaps mental or if it's emotional, if it's a relational issue, if it's a financial problem that you might be having. Don't ever believe that the God who loves you enough to give up his life for you Don't ever believe that he doesn't care about the common issues that we have to deal with, that we struggle with, that we're tempted by, that are hardships on us. He does care. He cares deeply about who we are and what we're going through. So anyway, there's this guy that needed healing, and Jesus decided to heal him. And so, in doing so, understand, he defied the Pharisees' teaching. You know, he defied their teaching by healing the man. And as the first part of this chapter 14 says, it goes on, Jesus watched as some proud men picked out places of honor for themselves at the table in this banquet, this dinner party that he was invited to. And he delivered a kind of a pointed message about humility, which could have humiliated some of those guests. And finally, as if the tension were not great enough already, the Lord suggested to the host that he had omitted inviting some guests. Verse 13, pick it up if you're there in the text on the left side of the folder handout. Finally, when you give a banquet, Jesus said, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Pay comes later. Pay comes heavenward. Pay comes after the dot in the line, Jesus said. And when those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, one of those, and perhaps to break the tension, to try to sound spiritual, who knows, but he said, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. That's verse 15 of chapter 14. Eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Yeah, that's a good statement to say. And truly, accept it today. Blessed are you if you will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. That means you made it. That means it's going to be all good. You made it out of this life into the line life, into the eternal one. Maybe he thought that both Jesus and all the guests could agree on that comment. Everyone around the table probably nodded in agreement and said to one another, amen, amen. It'll be a wonderful when we all get there, won't it? Perhaps there was some nervous laughter. But Jesus, interestingly, wasn't one to pass up opportunities. He was quick and ready to correct wrong ideas about the spiritual realm. And so he told this parable about the great dinner party to correct the man who was wrongly assuming that he and all his cronies would be present at the banquet due to the fact that they were Jews. And not just any Jews, but that they were Pharisees and even lawyers, leaders of the Jews. In fact, one is even understood to perhaps have been part of the Sanhedrin, the top 70 in the nation of Israel at the time. They saw themselves a few notches above the common Jewish people, as some would even be self-righteous and not even closer in the same league with pagan Gentiles. And Jesus shows them that many of them would miss the kingdom party because they were refusing the Lord's invitation. And to their great surprise, many whom they assumed would not be there, no way those guys could be there, would in fact be there because they did respond to the Lord's invitation. Here's what Jesus says. Here's his classic parable teaching. Listen. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet, invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became, what does it say? Angry, and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done, but there is there still is more room. Then the master told the servant, "Go out into the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full." Pause. So when the master's invitation was met with a series of excuses, we see in this parable, the master does understand the unthinkable here. He does the unthinkable. He fills his lavish party with the broken, stained, outcasts of society. Then Jesus delivers the punch. What is it? "I tell you," verse 24, "not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." Wow. So here we see the underlying truth of the story, that the story's meant to convey. He's the master, Jesus, in the story, and those sitting in front of him are the ones making the flimsy, offending excuses. Whoever buys something and then goes checks it out to see if it... So it's like, well, this parable's understood to be one of Jesus' teaching summaries of Israel's response to him. God had invited them to his kingdom, and they had on the surface accepted. They wanted to be people of God's kingdom. They wanted to be people who would accept the Messiah. They felt that they were living proper, some of them very proper, righteous, above everyone else. And they looked down their noses at times, in some cases, at others. Now they're making excuses why they can't come. Then these are the religious people, of course. They had accepted that first invitation. They put in their RSVP, considered themselves God's people. And when that final invitation is coming, we will follow the Messiah. He's our Savior, King, of course, into the kingdom that has been designed to fulfill the Davidic kingdom that God had planned for us. And what happens? Now that Jesus is here, and he's inviting them to follow him, to listen, to understand the God of the Creator God through the greatest revelation that we've ever had on the planet, that's Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, walking in the flesh. Oh yes, we have the God of nature, and we have, you know, so we can understand that God, as he's revealed himself in the general revelation, we say, of all that he's created. And we have that revelation, even a little bit from within, and that inner moral nature that we have somewhat to guide our conscience at times. We understand some basic rights and wrongs made in the image of God. And we get, of course, the Bible as the very special or verbal revelation of God. And we have specific, special direction, instruction, understandings from God through this. But here is Jesus, the very Son of God, expressing in a full way how humanity could respond to God and be in communion with God. And unfortunately, they didn't accept him. They didn't take the invitation to follow Jesus. They wouldn't respond to Jesus. In fact, they got into a position of resistance to Jesus, didn't they? And they were actually trying to trap the very Son of God, God who's walking on the planet. They're trying to get him to accuse him of breaking the law, of sinning against God, who would be Jesus' Father. Master became angry. It's a reflection of the righteous indignation of God, who has seen that the offer to bring us to life, if we would choose to resist it, if we would choose to say, "No, I don't want your party." Can you believe it? Yet, it happens. These Jewish leaders missed Jesus and will miss his party. They won't taste of his banquet food. That's what's being said here, my friends. It's a serious thing. And so I just want us to consider three reasons people can miss the party in the kingdom of heaven. How, you know, people today can miss the party. And I believe people have missed the party, and they will miss the party if they don't accept the invitation of Jesus Christ as Savior, King of their lives. And so let's look at the first one. Some miss the party because they fail to recognize the importance of the invitation. God's an inviter. He wants to invite everybody. And Jesus responded to invitations himself. Invitations are a people thing, aren't they? We invite people to be connected to us. We invite people to come to church. Thank you for coming, those of you that have been invited in the past and came. I was invited. I was invited 7 times to come to a church where eventually I finally decided to come. What if they hadn't invited me the 7th time? It haunts me to this day. I might have missed the party. But I responded, finally. And I came to understand through the special revelation of God, through the Bible, through the understanding of God in a greater way, because I was underinformed. I'd been in church, as you know, most of you, every single Sunday since I was a baby, up through 20 years old, and I started to ask those big questions again, went through a second spiritual awakening, so to speak, because I needed to know, why am I here? Where did I come from? What is all of this stuff anyway? Because it looks like everybody dies in the end, and then what? Do you have an answer for that? This is the basic philosophical troubling questions of all humanity. I had them, you've had them. What's your answers? I wanted to get it figured out before I gave my life to the corporate ladder, before I gave my life to some business deal that I would surrender my life to slaving away to accumulate and accumulate and accumulate, and then, oh, that was the dot. Is there a line? Is there something else? I'm glad I was struck with those questions anew, afresh. They're important to get answered. Invitations are so important. And you know, there's some invitations that I've turned down. Yep, I have. Because people will invite me. I'm a pastor, invite me, invite me, invite me, and I have to say no. But my grandmother, at her 80th birthday party, it was Angelina Vigna. She was the matriarch of my dad's side, which is all Italian, okay? I'm half Italian. My mom had no Italian. My grandmother, Vigna, she was turning 80, and Grandma Vigna wanted all of her family at her birthday party. Guess what? We were all there. All of us were there because, kind of, I think my mom and my dad said, unless you're dead, Davy, you need to be there. It's like, okay, and it was a grand party, and, you know, you just go to those things. My parents had their 50th anniversary, and guess what? I was there, you know, it's like, of course, and what a grand party it was. Invitations can be extremely important, and be careful about excuses to some invitations that are to events that are extremely important, because there's some excuses that just won't cut it, and you will cut off relationship. So we make a way, we make a path to those that are really important to us to get there if they've invited us. And no excuses. I was thinking of excuses I would have used back in the day at these great events. I couldn't have said, I need to go check on a new apartment I rented. Or I need a new car I bought, I need to go check on it. Are you kidding me? Or I got to hang with my wife. You know, I'd have been better dead than, you know, trying to give those kinds of excuses. And so the invitation by God to receive the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ is the most important invitation, my friends. that you can ever receive. It's just the most important. Don't make an excuse for it to get out of it. Figure out why you would never want to refuse it. Okay? And you'll find the greatest reasons that you would never want to refuse the very invitation of God to live with Him forever in eternal life, to be at His grand party, that ultimate party. You see, God won't force you to be there against your will. I can't force my kids to do anything anymore now that they're grown. When they were young, I forced them. But now that they're older, I'm hoping that they know, they've grown and learned and figured it out. But I can't force them. I can only invite them and hope that they'll understand the importance of those kinds of invitations. There's going to be a celebration party, and God wants His house full. The gospel invitation offered is so important because everyone can actually come if they accept and follow Jesus. This is what compels our gospel outreach as us, even a small church, to where we're trying to get out here and connect in the community, out of these walls on Sundays, and be part of what's going on in the community, like generosity feeds. We'll rub shoulders with people, all kinds of backgrounds, different places, different businesses they're associated with. They all have kind of a heart, though, to help childhood hunger, even in our prosperous country and out here in this area. There's a huge case that needs to be met, and it's valuable. And so we get to hang out with them. Well, we're the ones that are pushing and making sure this event is held as the branch church. We are doing that and in committing to a $5,000 participation in doing that because we think it's important to be out here in the community, part of doing the best we can for those that live around us. That's called loving people. That's called doing goodwill to the community. That's called, you know, doing something in the name of Jesus. Jesus would heal somebody with some ailment like dropsy. Why? He cared about what's happening to people around him, people that sat around him at a table even. And we care. Thank you for caring, church. Thank you for what you've been doing over the past 3 years to literally reach out and touch thousands of people in this community. It's been an amazing thing to see. And thank you for digging deep. Those of you that can are able to help fund things that we try to help with and fund, like the generosity feeds. It matters. We're doing it so that people that are far from God out here could get to know church as something that's good. This doesn't take advantage of you. Actually, they are givers. The church are people that love us, even though we might not agree on a lot of things. And they come a little closer, and they come a little closer, and pretty soon we find them opening their hearts to God. May not even be us, maybe some other church is fine. They're opening their hearts and their home to God a little bit more than they never have before. And they might have been underinformed about Jesus. All of a sudden, they get more informed like I did. They might be totally misinformed. They might be following some false system of salvation in their life. And all of a sudden, they start to discover a system of salvation that has evidences that makes the best sense of all of them. And by that kind of faith, they choose to know and follow Jesus Christ. Wow, that's what happens as we just continue to be involved. And we're inviting, twice a year we invite 30,000 households to Easter and Christmas. And we do that, and it costs us thousands of dollars to do that. We find it very valuable. How many again in here have come because simple invitation through the mail and you responded to it? How many? Look around. We find that half of the people that come to the branch come because we're out there in the community inviting, doing things to touch people. Half the people come because we're at work with people in our lives, inviting folks, encouraging them to be have an understanding of Jesus. Very, very important. Okay, so number two, some miss the party because they feel unworthy. The story Jesus was telling was scandalous. He really was to people because rich, important people would never invite the poor, the lame, the blind, the outcast to their homes for a social gathering, especially religious people at that time. But that's who Jesus said God invited. And just as Jesus' audience was surprised at the idea, a lot of people today miss the party because they don't believe God would ever really want them there. They have such... I am so bad. You don't know my past. If you knew my past, you'd have nothing to do with me. If you knew who I really have been in my life, there's just no way. I am beyond saving. I'm not good enough for heaven. No way. I'm not even going to try. You think there are people like that out in the world, friends? Yeah, there are. There are a bunch of them out here in the world, unfortunately. They think that somehow they've got to be good enough to get in. When I was single, I felt like I was showing up at places like church potluck dinners where people brought food and I hadn't brought any. It bothered me, but I still went ahead and dove in and ate. I was beholding to their grace in that. But if we don't bring anything like to a potluck gathering, we feel like we shouldn't participate. Isn't that right? Some of us would understand. Yeah, it's just the right protocol. And I really think it probably is a good protocol. Doesn't have to always work out. I think, you know, hey, you didn't bring anything, don't worry about it, can jump right in. That's what we do around here. But in theology, that's a dangerous attitude. You got to bring something to the table in order to be saved. That's just not true of biblical Christians. Theology. We don't bring anything to the table that would merit us being able to get in. That's not true at all. With God, there's nothing we can bring to the table that would make us more worthy. In His grace, He has covered our unworthiness with His righteousness. He paid the price for our seat. We're the poor, the blind, the crippled, the lame. We must accept the invitation. Because it's a gift we can't trade for. It's a gift God offers us, and we must proceed on that basis by faith in the gift of God through Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. God has invited us to His banquet party, and He doesn't expect us to contribute anything by way of having to make ourselves any better in order to be accepted. The invitation's for us no matter what highway, what hedge that we might have found ourselves in. And thirdly, and this is the one that applies more directly from the parable here, some miss the party because they refuse to acknowledge that they are unworthy, that they need the gift, and can only just accept it to be at that great party in heaven. While some deem themselves unworthy, others miss because they refuse. It's like the religious community in their day. They neglected Jesus because they didn't see that they too needed God's grace. Just like these that were coming in to that banquet in the parable from out of the dregs of the world that God filled His house with. Religion, friends, is the number one substitute for genuine faith. Religion convinces us that we're worthy because it gives us a list of things to do, good things to do. Even make ourselves feel more worthy if we have that attitude about it, which we ought to be cautious to not have that kind of attitude. Religion can condition people to just pursue the objectives of living a good life, be a good social activist, to be generous, to be a better you, to live strong. But in so doing, some can miss grace. We can miss this whole thing that we can't earn our way. No, we respond doing all those good things out of gratitude for the grace of God, out of gratitude for the love of God toward us and what He offered us. That's what we do, why we do it. Doing good works cannot qualify us for heaven because we've broken the commandments of God. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, Paul would write the beginning of Romans, where we've been traveling, Romans 1, 16, 17, because it is the power of God that brings salvation. It's this gospel message, this power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, here's the content, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, not by works, not by your works. Don't bring your works to the table, God says. They don't work. Your works don't work. Here's what works, my grace. Here's what works, Jesus offered as a free gift. That's what works. That's how we get to that awesome party. Just receiving that invitation to accept it. Basis of faith. One of the things that all lifeguards know, as I understand, is that you can't save anybody as long as they're trying to save themselves. Is that true? Anybody a lifeguard in here? Somebody's frightened in there and trying to save themselves. You want to go out and get around that person? No, you want to knock them out first or something. I'm not sure that's what they want to do, but they got to kind of wait till they give up and they're really lost and are willing to take whatever grace. And then the lifeguard can grab them around the shoulder and wheel them in. That's who we've got to be. We can't continue to try to save ourselves. We need to accept the only offering that will take away the wrath of God. That's the offering of Jesus Christ on the cross. I love this last little phrase. Comes out of an old hymn, Rock of Ages. Somebody know it? Here's verse 3. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Nothing in my hand I bring. I can't bring it. I cling to the cross. Look at that. Isn't that great? Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. We don't want to miss the party. And we don't want anybody else to either as a branch church. We want to get the word out. We want to help people to understand how to get to this incredible party, this ultimate party in heaven. Blessed is the one. Here it is. Let's leave with this one. Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Amen? Let's pray together and we'll sing our final song today. Almighty God, we here at the branch at this 10 a.m. service on this Sunday, February 24, cling to the cross. Thank you for giving us Jesus. Thank you for the righteousness for our lives we find in His work on the cross for us. Oh God, help us to follow Jesus by faith. That's responding to the invitation today for us. To just follow Him. To get to know Him. To make His name known. Thank you for the Savior, King Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen and?
Amen.
You have those connection cards as the band gets going here. Just in. Place those connection cards in those branch bright green planter pots for me, please. Thank you for being part of the branch service this morning. Thank you, those of you that are giving to the work of God here at the branch. We are so grateful for your gifts. We missed a Sunday this month, so we're a little down in those operational offering funds, and so if that's something that you can make up for the sake of the work today. We appreciate it. God bless you as you go out this day. I want to invite you to stand, and before you leave, reach around to somebody. Make sure you get to know perhaps somebody you don't know as well yet. Also, help yourself to some more food and coffee. If you want some prayer today, I'm just going to be back here on your way out. I'd be happy to have a short prayer with anybody here that would desire that. Okay, thanks for coming, everybody.